Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, later on we'll have our weekly League of Ireland discussion. Joining us for a chat this week is former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan to look ahead to the games as Harps go to Dublin to play Bows on Saturday, and Derry City of course start the second series of matches. They host Longford Town tomorrow evening. But up first, inter-county Gaelic Games returns this weekend with the senior hurlers, the first Donegal side in action on Sunday. They play Roscommon in their opening game of Division 2B in the National League at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. That game throws in on Sunday at 2 o'clock and it will be fully live here on Highland. We'll be live from the O'Donnell Park from just before 2 o'clock. Joining me on commentary will be Colm Brannock, former Donegal player and winner of an All-Ireland title when Donegal lifted the Lowry Maher Cup. Well, current Donegal manager Mickey McCann has already been hit with several bows ahead of that game, as three of his All-Ireland champions from last year have opted out. Davin Flynn, who hit 1-3 to help Donegal lift the Nicky Rackard title last November, and Kevin Keeley have not joined the squad this year due to family and college commitments. While Joe Boyle has retired after 17 years of service in the Donegal jersey. With games against Kildare, Derry and Mayo to come, manager McCann knows it will be tough to stay up. Speaking to me this week, he is hoping to make home advantage pay off this weekend.
We've lost two or three key players from the final last year. Davin Flynn's opted out for us, you know, family commitments and work. He just can't get the commitment desired, you know. So, big loss. Kevin Keeley, who started the final, has opted out to college and stuff, and he just can't commit either. And Joe Boyle's another boy who decided to retire. Now, it was always coming around the corner with Joe in the last couple of years, you know, and look, he just can't. He's living my own and a wee baby boy there, so he just can't give the commitment either. So look, we're down a few heads, okay, from last year, and look, it'll be nice to carry the same panel through, but that's not the way it worked out for us, you know.
Yeah, and it's that's sort of the ongoing thing every year for you, Mickey, as county manager. There's always somebody who has a huge influence to the squad that's either not available or can't commit to part of the year, so it's something that you're not so much used to, but it's become a regular feature over the last couple of years, has it?
I suppose we stayed in Division 2B and second year up on it then. We lost a number of bodies over the season, and look, you need everybody in that division. It's going to be really tough without them few boys, you know. But look, we just have to trust the boys. The boys are there now with us 3 or 4 seasons, and a few of them will be getting their chance action. We'll just have to trust them, and hopefully the last 2 or 3 years stand steady to them and they can step up to this standard of hurling, you know.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you are All-Ireland champions, Nicky Rackard winners from last year, Mickey, so you will be taking a lot of confidence out of that into the 2021 campaign.
I suppose Ashton is a big victory for us against Mayo, you know. I suppose in 18 maybe we were getting hot favourites against Warwickshire, they won the Nicky Rackard, but to go on against beat a team the caliber of Mayo, you know, in the final, who haven't beat since 2004 maybe. Going on as big underdogs. Look, it was a massive day for us, and the hard work over the last 2 or 3 years paid off, you know. So, but going up into this league, it's going to be a tough ask again, Oisín. You know, you have 3 Christy Ring teams in it, and the Christy Ring champions, Kildare, is in it. So, it's going to be a tough division for us.
Yeah, but you beat these teams previously because you won over Derry in recent years as well. Mickey had a first one against your neighbours, so there'll be sort of nuggets of previous games over the last couple of years that you can take from, I'm sure, that you'll use going under these ties.
Of course, actually, nobody takes us. When we went up that division, other teams were guaranteeing themselves 2 points, and they met us. Now they know that they're making a team that they have to play. You know, they're going to have to beat us. We're going to compete hard against them, and we feel that we can. You know, we've trained well so far for 3 or 4 weeks, but you can only do so much in training, Oisín. When you're in a competitive game, you only see when you're really at, then, you know. So, and it's going to be the same for Roscommon and also. Look, Roscommon will be a big one on Sunday, actually. We would need to get 2 points out of that game, you know, and get a good start in the competition, because it's going to be possibly harder games. You're waiting to Kildare and Derry down the line, you know, so we need to make something up the home games.
Yeah, Roscommon's going to be a tough game. How do you go about beating a side like that that's coming to the county, where you know that if you can get 2 points to start things off with, Mickey, it'll put you in a good footing?
I suppose they're a decent outfit, actually. They've been Christy Ring hurling now since 17 or 18, you know, so they've stayed there for 4 or 5 seasons, so they're definitely a good outfit. But in saying that, you know, 4 or 5 seasons ago we beat them in a league final. So, look, it's going to be down to hard work, actually, as usual. That's going to be key for us, you know, and getting as much turnovers out of Roscommon and trying to force them into as much mistakes as possible. And, you know, just making ourselves really hard to beat and stay in the game as long as possible, and near the end, then hopefully, you know, we can, the home advantage can pay off for us.
So 2 home wins would be enough for you to stay up, Mickey?
I think so, actually. You know, the way the division is, only 4 games, you know, and the top team is promoted as champions and the bottom team is relegated. So, look, there's no second chances or anything here. So you just need to get 3-4 points on the board, you know, to get yourself in safe. And you never know where you're at then, Oisin. You could be closer to the top end. That's the way it's going to be. This division is going to be nothing but a couple of points just at the end, you know.
Yeah. Obviously, Davin, we mentioned it earlier, he's not available. Declan Coulter last year, he had injury problems, so he had Mickey at times of the year, but he came back, of course, to feature in the big matches. What sort of condition is he in? Because he's the sort of player now where there's going to be possibly a bit more pressure heaped on him, given the likes of Davin's not available.
Well, to be honest, actually, Declan's in as good a shape as he has been over the last 3 or 4 seasons. You know, he had a good pre-season and he did a lot of individual work himself. So he's definitely key to us, you know, and he's in very good shape at the minute. So hopefully we can keep him injury-free, you know, because he's key in keeping the scoreboard taking over for us, especially the likes of Davin and stuff, mustn't. So, but he's in a good place at the minute.
Yeah. You mentioned players that aren't available to you. What additions have you made for the year, Mickey?
Well, with Christopher McDermott came back in, actually, who opted out last year because of work commitments. So, look, he'll be a good addition in defence for us, so maybe possibly following that void that Joe's left, you know, up front. Then to replace Kevin Keeley and stuff. Look, you're Lee Henderson maybe, and boys like that, Conor O'Grady, all stepping up to take a position, and Bernard Laffey didn't start the final and going very well in training. So we definitely have a bench there that can replace these boys. I think if we can just click as a team now on Sunday, you know, against Roscommon.
Donegal hurling boss Mickey McCann. Well, as he mentioned in that piece, one of the 3 players that's not available to him this season is Joe Boyd. After 17 years, he has retired from intercounty hurling. The Burt man won 4 All-Ireland titles with the county during his time in the Donegal jersey, and he informed Mickey McCann in recent weeks that he cannot commit this year as the trek from Mayo is starting to take its toll. Joe celebrated his 34th birthday this week, and he told me that he has some fantastic memories with Donegal, and the decision that he made to retire wasn't an easy one.
It wasn't an easy decision, you know. I suppose at the start of maybe the last year there, I was contemplating it, and I didn't really have a decision made up, you know, and I kind of left it to the last minute there. Only last week there, I decided, you know, I rang Mickey and explained to him, and I just told him that you know, probably I'm actually living in Mayo at the moment, you know, and we're traveling up and down between Galway and Mayo the last maybe 2 or 3 years, so I kind of just took its toll, you know, and a young family and stuff like that as well, you know, at home now. So, hard decision, Oisin, but, you know, it's one that I think that'll stand by, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you thought long and hard about making this decision, because it's been a huge part of your life. So it has, Joe, but not a bad way to go out. A 4th All-Ireland you won last year in Croke Park with Donegal.
No, definitely not. Like, you know, and as I say, you know, you couldn't probably go out in a better way. Like, you know, especially, you know, Mayo over the years was a team, maybe I think I only beat them once over my 17 years, like, and it was hard, and to beat them in a Nicky Record final in Croke Park, you know, and bring the cup back down to Donegal, you know, especially.
Yeah, 17 years of intercounty hurling, 4-time All-Ireland winner, but I'm sure there's a lot of highlights in there, so there is for you, Joe, a lot of memorable times for you.
Oh, there's a lot, Oisin, to be honest with you, you know, getting promoted there, you know, good few seasons ago, we got promoted, you know, up to 2B, the league lick, and stayed up there. You know, we took a few good scalps there. We beat the Derry and Down and teams that got there, and, you know, and probably off the pitch too, you know, different memories, you know, and made some great friends, and just, you know, it was just great, like, to get, you know, all the lads, and honoured to be probably, you know, get a good career, like, you know, and probably stay relatively injury-free as well, you know.
Yeah. We keep referring to the four All-Irelands, three Nicky Rackards and a Lowry Maher, but I suppose one of your treasured memories would be captain in Donegal to an All-Ireland title and walking the steps of Croke Park.
Oh, most definitely. Like, you know, that's something that I suppose every young fella growing up, you know, in GAA especially, dream of, like, going up the steps of the Hogan Stand. And it was extra special for me, you know, to be captain of the team that year in 2013. Like, and beating probably, we went in as underdogs too that day as well against a fancied Roscommon team, you know, and we went down to 14 men and things like that as well, and just hung in there and dug deep. And really, like, as I say myself, you know, it was just probably... Personally, it was extra special to go up and lift the cup as well.
You came up against some feisty characters and some fantastic players in your time as well, Joe. If you were to pick a couple of players that you played alongside with that really stood out for you.
Oh, there's a good few boys, you know what I mean, like, and especially there, you know, I was a defender all my life, you know, and playing alongside probably James O'Donnelly, be one there. I came out and I started my career with playing alongside James, and always loved playing alongside him. You know, he kind of brought out the best in me, and I think I brought out the best in him in times, you know, and some of the stuff, you know, that used to go on defence, you know, and really enjoyed that. And look, you probably look around the team then, you know, growing up, I was lucky enough, I used to look from Darren McDermott and that, and Burton to play alongside Darren as a defender, and, you know, things like that, Niall Campbell, Enda McDermott, these boys, Danny Cullen there, you know, just special players as well, and Sean McVeigh, you know, there's just all them lads, like, and I was just privileged, you know, to play alongside them, and, you know, there's some great young players coming up there as well now, you know, the likes of Jack O'Loughlin and Ronan, Christy McDermott and all these boys, you know, so, you know, Donegal Hurling's in a good place, like.
Yeah, that's my next point. What do you think of Donegal Hurling at the moment? Because I know, speaking to Mickey McCann, he sees your retirement as a blow to his squad, given that you featured so regularly and had a huge part to play in Donegal's success. You didn't step up to the Christie Ring this year, obviously, with everything that was going on in the pandemic. So how bright is this future for Donegal Hurling? Over the next couple of years, is there a good enough crop and talented bunch there to make the step up to Christie Ring and possibly stay in that?
Well, that has to be the goal, you know, Washing, because, like, we're probably, myself included, I was a bit disappointed this year that we didn't get the opportunity. You know, we rightly won the Nicky Rackard, and in my eyes, you know, we should have just got the opportunity to go up and play Christy Ring. That's what you want to do. You want to get to the next level again, you know, and bring Donegal Hurling up. And for me, I think we definitely have the squad of players there. You know, Mickey's done a fantastic job, you know, when he came in. Like, he's just brought it to a new level, you know, and the boys, everybody knows where they stand, like, and there's big competition for places. But, you know, there is a few lads that's probably near tailing to the end of the career, maybe same as myself, you know. But, no, as I say, it's something that I looked at too, you know, that there's all young guys in the benches there, and they can come in and take my place. Like, I know that, and we definitely have the players there, and the club scene in Donegal is strong. You know, we've a couple of more clubs, you know, coming on board there. The likes of Dunlow last year there, Cairn Donna, you know, stepping up to senior this year. You know, the likes of Moncrana there is competitive now again as well. And, you know, you have your ourselves and Burt and the rest there, and Satanta's and McCool's and that as well, you know. So, as I say, it's all good there in the club scene, like, it's good and competitive, and that's the way we need it, because that only pushes the county scene on further.
Yeah, how tall an order is it going to be then, do you feel, for Mickey and his team to stay up in Division 2B this year, given the structure of the league?
That's it, you know, I was looking at it there, and probably, you know, like anything, you're targeting your home games, and, you know, Roscommon, they're their first game this weekend, like, and you know, Roscommon be a tough game. They're in Division 2B's the last few years, you know, and they're kind of cemented their place there, and they're in the Christy Ring Cup and things like that as well. So for us, you know, it's important that we stay in that division, and, you know, and hopefully get back up into the Christy Ring and then cement their place there, and that's the only way we can improve, like, you know. But in saying that, it'll be tough, like, you know, London's out of it this year, in a way, of Mayo and Roscommon at home. The two tough teams, like Mayo, have Keith Higgins there back on board, who's just as good a hurler as he is footballer, you know, so he's a massive influence on them again as well. So, no, it'll be tough. It will be tough now, but I have no doubt that McHale will leave no stone unturned.
Obviously, you stepped away from inter-county action, Joe, so the next question is going to be, can you commit hurling-wise to Burt for 2021? Are you going to stick at that for another number of years yet?
Well, that's the next question, Oisin. I suppose it's something that I'll have to start thinking about now as well. Like, you know, as I say, I'm living on my own and stuff for the gap work and family commitments and stuff, you know, and the travelling gets no easier and things like that, you know, but it's very hard. Like, it's going to be very, very hard for me to step away from Burt. Like, you know, same as Donegal, as I say, I left it to the last minute and I kind of had my mind made up and I didn't have my mind made up and things like that. But as you say, it was a big, massive part of my life, like, and, you know, I owe a lot to it as well, you know, and got a lot out of it as well. So no decision on that yet, as of yet, but definitely now in the next number of weeks I'll have to make my mind up regarding that, you know.
Yeah. You said 17 years at senior under-county level playing hurling for Donegal. You were 17, weren't you, when you started senior level,
yeah,
when you played your debut? So that would make you 34 today, given it's your birthday, Joe.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
very happy birthday.
Thanks, Oisin.
And I'm sure you'll feel that there's still a couple of years left in your hurling for your club, Bird.
Oh, definitely. Look, as I say, you know, it's brilliant to be able to go out there, and I was privileged, you know, to be playing as long, like, especially with Donegal there, you know, some of the players I played with down through the years was brilliant, you know, and as I say before, the opportunities I got there, and the people you get to meet and things like that there, you know, you hear once chatting about it, but it is true, like, you know, and even in the club scene, you know, the Donegal club scene is very small. We could nearly pick each other's club teams, you know, we know each other that well, but I always had the mindset, once you end up there, you know, to Donegal, you left all your club things at the door, like, and you were playing for the one team, and that's how you drive it on, you know, that's how you have to come together then, and then you're in the one team then, and drive Donegal hurling on.
Yeah. Listen, Joe, and enjoy your birthday, and enjoy your inter-county retirement as well, and I'm sure we'll see you real soon again in the Burt colours here in the county. Thanks for talking to us, Joe, and the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
The now retired Joe Boyle speaking to me this week as Donegal head into the opening weekend of hurling action this coming Sunday, where of course they will play Roscommon at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Starts at 2:00. Full live match coverage here on Highland as from the 2 p.m. throw-in, and Highland's coverage in association with the Bathroom and Tile Boutique in Bridge End. And I'll be joined on commentary by former Donegal player Colin Brannock. Also this weekend, Derry are in action as well in Division 2B. They've got a 3:00 start at McHale Park in Castlebar. It's Derry making the trek into the west as they play Mayo. Well, club action returns in the county of Tyrone this weekend with a number of competitions still to be completed from last year. Matches get underway on Friday evening, but the big game of the weekend is on Saturday afternoon at Drumrar when Carrickmore will play Omagh in the county minor final. Ahead of this weekend's games, Tyrone GAA have strongly reminded clubs involved of the importance of full compliance with existing restriction guidelines and directives. All games must be played behind closed doors and no spectators are allowed. The Tyrone CCCC say that if any spectators gain admission to club grounds, they will not permit the game to commence or allow it to continue if such a breach occurs during the game. On to soccer now. After Monday's North West Derby win at Derry City and their first win in 5 games, Fin Harps will look to keep momentum in the Premier Division this weekend when they travel to Dublin to play Bohemians on Saturday evening. Harps captain Dave Webster is a doubt for the trip to Dalymount Park after suffering a head injury at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. While it looks like Johnny Dunleavy could also miss the game, joining Ryan Connolly, Connor Barry and Shane McElhinney on the injured list. Derry City host Longford Town on Friday evening as they kick off the second series of games, looking to bounce back from a first defeat under new manager Rory Higgins. But the standout tie of the weekend is the battle of the top two as Shamrock Rovers cross the city in Dublin to play St Patrick's Athletic. This week's guest on our League of Ireland chat is former Fin Harps captain, current Glentoran player and co-presenter of the Allergic to Silverware podcast, Keith Cowan. Listen, a lot to talk about League of Ireland wise. You played in some derbies over the period of your spells at Fin Harps, and you never managed to get the one at the Brandywell. Were you a wee bit jealous on Monday night, were you?
Look, I was just jumping on my skin when Foley found the back of the net. It's great to see a win against Derry, no matter which club it is. But I think it makes it more special when it's a Hearts victory. As you mentioned there, we got close on a couple of occasions in the Brandywell. We spoiled the party there one night when they were going to win the league. Way back when, I think a two-all draw we got, and that was sweet enough going ahead twice in that game. But you know, the lads will be buzzing. It'll give them a serious lift going into the match on Saturday away to Bowes.
Alyssa, it was a much needed victory because the four games prior to that they managed just to pick up a point after having such a fantastic run. So the timing of the 3 points, Keith, was crucial.
Oh yeah, because it sort of made that gap now again between Derry. Like, Derry got, you know, the two wins there after Rory Higgins coming in, you know, that resurgence of a new manager coming in, and the young players of Derry reacted to that there, you know, getting a win away to Sligo and a win away at Bowes. So had they have beat Harps there on Monday night, it would have brought them right up and behind them, but it would have brought the gap back into a point. But no, it's a really, really important victory for Harps. The way we look at Harps now, we're kind of expecting them to do something every week where that expectancy, you know, is there. You know, not getting anything against Shamrock Rovers or Patsy, haven't played well in both games. You know, that's kind of where the expectancy level is now. So it was great to get back to winning ways. You know, as we mentioned, the goal right at the death foot, that man again, Adam Foley, on a great run of form, and the 3 points is massive, as always.
Yeah, and in that period as well, Harps failed to find the net on several games leading into that. And the Northwest Derby, a game of such magnitude, to get back onto the scoring sheet again was also crucial. So it was for Ollie's side.
Oh, it's massive. You know, obviously, like, and again, it was Foley and O'Sullivan, the two lads that are sort of Foley obviously leading the league in goals with 5 goals from his first 9 games, which is a great return. I'm not sure anybody really would have expected that. Maybe only him, but and then Cara Sullivan chipping in with 2 as well. Might be a worrying sign that maybe that's where the goals are only coming from. Obviously, it's great to see your striker scoring and your front man scoring, but you'd like to see maybe the lads further in the pitch. I know Webster got one, got the winner against Waterford, I think it was at Fun Park, which picked up another vital 3 points for them. So I think they'll have to start looking around the dressing room now to see where they're going to chip in a few more goals from.
Aside from the goals, there was a lot of excellent performances by Finn Harps. I think overall they fully deserved the one and the 3 points. The likes of Barry McNamee put in a huge shift, so he did on Monday night. Aside from the goal scorers, what else impressed you, Keith?
Well, I think, you know, Harps started the game really well. You know, they moved the ball well. They cut Derry open at times, and Derry took the lead pretty much against the run of play, for my money anyway. They played some nice football. They didn't really. Barry had a great chance early on. I think Olabi had a great chance early on. And then, as I said, Derry against the run of play, Akintuni's cut inside. You know, Siddiqui maybe would have liked to have done better. He's kind of gone to ground maybe a bit too early. And he's, to be fair to Akintuni, he's curled the ball into the far corner of the net, which was, as I said, against the run of play. Some standout performances so far this season. I think a lot of people are talking about Mark Coyle and, you know, the work that he's doing in the middle of the park. You know, a lot of the sort of the work that goes unnoticed at times, he's getting around, he's hassling, he's breaking things up. Alongside him, young Seymour as well, who's come in at his first season. I think maybe just because of Mark's work rate in there and the job that he does, and then you have Barry in there and the job that he does, a bit more expected of Seymour, you know, and maybe his, you know, setting things up and maybe, you know, starting attacks and trying to break through the lines. That there type of player is what I think maybe Harps are missing slightly at the moment. Because of the style that they play as well, sometimes, you know, as I said, they started really well against Derry. They attacked really quickly. Barry, as it was getting into the box, that's where you want them, on the edge of the box and, you know, arriving late. And there was those gaps then, maybe that's how Derry got their goal. So they kind of need to lock down that area of the field in the middle. You know, I think as they play more together, I think they'll learn more about each other, and, you know, that'll sort of settle down and they'll learn to play that style. Obviously, you know, we've talked a lot about Foley. His goals have been excellent. You know, got Harps to where they are. You know, the goals, the style of goals that he scored as well. You know, not just 6 yard box or tap ins or headers and that. There, you know, he's had a lot to do in these moments. You know, you think about the one back in the Dundalk game where he's, you know, the more time he's had, you know, there's obviously a lot more things can go wrong. Sometimes we say about strikers, when they have more time to think about something, you know, a lot more things can come into play. But he's taken his goals excellently. You know, he's created a nice partnership there with McNamee, you know, find him in good areas, and with O'Sullivan as well. You know, another one that's really impressed me with his work rate, with his strength, with his pace. So all over the park. And then, you know, you look on the back line, Siddiqui, who's done really well in a lot of games, very commanding there, very strong, you know, great presence in there. Webster, you know, captain's role, organising, constantly talking. You know, Martin McGinley's coming for a bit of criticism and goals for, you know, the past few weeks, maybe making mistakes, but that's just the expectancy level that, again, that I was talking about earlier. Martin McGinley has pulled off numerous saves for Hearts, keeping them in games and set the bar for himself so high that when he does maybe have a drop off in concentration or whatever, that might lead to a goal or might lead to a shot and goal, people are going to criticise him. And that's the unfortunate part of being a goalkeeper. When you make a mistake, it generally leads to a goal. So, I think as a massive result for them during the week, and no, 3 points in a derby, the way they did it, conference will be set sky high, and they'll be looking forward to Bowes now again on Saturday.
I'll be heading to Dublin, obviously to Daly Mount Park. Interesting when you see the table. The three sides that are above Harps are the three teams that have suffered defeat to this season. Bowes currently sit, 6 points off them? Seventh in the standings. If you were to look at that and the way the results have gone, you would expect Harps to get something out of this game. Now, I know people have been talking about Bowes are a top four team, but that hasn't turned out on the results sheet. So this is a game that you would think that Harps are fully well capable of possibly getting a full set of points in the road, Keith.
Very much so. Very much so, Ashley. I think, you know, we spoke about it at the start of the season. This is not the Bowes team of old, you know, with the experience and stuff. You know, quite a young squad there, you know, a few lads with experience, contrasting styles that they play. I watched just some of the highlights there against Drogheda. You know, the goal they scored is as good a goal as you'll see in the league, and the League of Ireland, no matter any other league. You know, keeping possession, you know, playing out from the back in tight areas with men around them, you know, going back and going out the other side, you know, and a great ball from the midfield, and, you know, tucked away very nicely. I think Harps, you know, they've gone there previously, picked up 3 points there at the end of last season. They beat them at home. They'll know all about them. They'll be well organised. As we say, Ollie won't let the lads get carried away. And, you know, even having picked up 3 points against them and, you know, beat them the last two times that they played them, he'll still be keeping them grounded. The approach will still be the same. Be organised. You know, play to Harp strengths, and they'll be thinking 3 points will be fairly achievable on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I suppose what's it going to take? Both, of course, of the likes of Georgie Kelly, who can stick the ball in the back of the net, and we've seen the threat that he posed. They're a hugely talented side, but the fact that they're back scoring goals again, it sort of adds to the whole thing, doesn't it, Keith?
It definitely does, and, you know, like, Dillymount's never an easy place to go anytime. You know, I think, as I was kind of saying earlier, that the confidence and the momentum seems to be with Harps at the moment. You know, they're ahead of Bowes, and they'll want to keep that. They want to keep those, I think it might be, I'm not sure if it's 4 or 6 points between them at the moment. They'll want to keep that there. And, you know, yes, they have threats. Georgie Kelly's a huge threat. Loves scoring goals against Finn Harps. Has done it over the years. You know, still a young man. Still, you know, he's picking up goals here and there, but not as prolific as he would want to be. And, like, as I say, he loves scoring against Harps, and he'd be looking to grab a few more on Saturday.
Well, Ollie Horgan will be hoping that he doesn't stick the ball in the net come Saturday evening. After the game against Bowes, there's crucial back-to-back games. We've got the two Louth sides coming, Dundalk and Drogheda. So again, if you had a good result, it certainly will put you in a very, not a comfortable position, but in good spec as you are heading to the next two games.
Definitely, like, you know, and again, they'll be seeing these games as, you know, they've played Dundalk, you know, they've taken points off them already this season. You know, going there and winning is a huge result. As I say, it's all about confidence. That'll give them massive confidence. Dundalk, not in a great run of form. You know, interim manager Jim McGilton coming downstairs from his director of football role and the management. You know, there's talk of David Healy, the current Linfield manager, coming in there to the Dundalk hot seat, which would be a huge boost for them with his experience. So, you know, everything's just not rosy in the garden there. It's, you know, it's strange when you look back 5-6 months ago, Dundalk were playing in the Europa League group stages against Arsenal. You had Finn Harps that were, you know, fighting relegation against Waterford in the League of Ireland. So the fact that we're now talking about Harps going and, you know, picking up 3 points against Dundalk in a very winnable game, you know, that just shows you where they've come. So they'll after this first round of games, they've played everyone, they've seen everyone, so they won't fear anyone. You know, there's probably not many. If you look at the points, you know, 14 points from 9 games, you know, a great return. But if you look at that, those run of games, there's not many games there where you thought we didn't deserve these points or it was a snatch and grab. Maybe the Waterford game, but you know, you've come from behind, you've dug in, you've shown that they can do that against Waterford. They learned against Derry the other night. So, you know, as I say, the guys will have nothing to fear. They'll be looking for Dundalk to come down and put up them. And I'm sure they will. Look, we can't rule out Dundalk and just say, you know, that they've totally dropped down. But, you know, they've gone to Longford and struggled to get a point there last weekend. So, you know, it's not the Dundalk of old. And, you know, Ollie will be and Higgsy will be reminded of that, although to respect them. But, look, it's very achievable to be picking up points against these teams.
Yeah, that's to come in a number of weeks' time. Derry City lost, of course, that derby on Monday night. They had two victories before that, Keith. The last time we spoke to you, they hadn't picked up a single point. What have you made of them since?
Well, obviously, you know, the new manager coming in has given them a lift. You know, Roy Higgins, I thought, was a great appointment. There was a couple of names mentioned. I know Paddy McLaughlin, the Cliftonville manager, was mentioned. I think Paul Higgerty was even mentioned. And there was chat that 2 weeks ago would have been his last game and he would have been taking the job, but that hasn't seemed to materialise. Roy's in there, you know, bit of a Derry legend, you know, played there for a number of years, has experience throughout the league, played also for Bowes and Dundalk, you know, played a season up in Korean as well in the Irish League. So huge wealth of experience, still relatively young, only at 36. He's got an experienced man in with him as well, and Raf Gataro, you know, huge experience in the league. They'll know the players. And I think it's maybe he's got the reaction that he's wanted straight away, you know, with a young side. I think from the side that started against Harps last night, you'd Lafferty maybe at 31. The rest, they're talking, you know, you're talking Kieran Harkin, 25, Atkinson, 25. The rest of the last 20, 21, you know, not a lot of experience in the league. So you're looking at that there straight away, you know, to try and get that reaction from the players. And he's done that straight away, you know, going to Sligo and winning. Great result, real battling performance. And then I think it was Bowes as well, going away to Bowes, getting a win later on, you know, showing that real grit and determination that you want, you know, this was the least thing to be expected from your team. So he'd be happy with that there, you know, and then, you know, just the young guys, you know, really buying into what he's doing so far. Maybe the fact that he isn't that much older, you know, just at 36, that he's a bit more relatable maybe as a manager. And, you know, he sees these young players, he knows what they're going through straight away, as, you know, he was only maybe in their position about 10 years ago himself. So, I think it was a great appointment from Derry, and him being a Derry man himself, you know, he'll understand what it means to the fans and, you know, everyone around the club.
Yeah, they've got a game against Longford Town, obviously on Friday night. That will be a good game to bounce back from a defeat in the North West Derby. They currently sit just 2 points above Longford, so a win here for Rory Higgins' side would put them back on track. Is that we expect them to be come the end of the season and then bottom four, bottom five surroundings of the Premier Division, Keith?
I suppose the way that things have gone, you know, up until Rory's come in, you would have thought maybe definitely until they've made that change. It's hard to know now, you know, which way they're going to go. They'll be looking to get 3 points. You know, I think they're home to Longford this weekend. So, you know, that'll be a game that they'll be thinking that we have to go and win here, you know, especially having gone to Longford early on, the opening night of the season, and a defeat there, which was a bit unexpected. Not many seen that coming. But I just think that this is somewhere now where they'll be looking, I think, to maybe the transfer window in the summer. They'll need to get some players that we talked about, you know, of experience in there to try and make sure that they're creeping up and down, you know, creeping up places all the time. As I said, you know, had they won, and you know, the width of a post away on Monday night against Harps, you know, they had a chance just beforehand I think it was Jack Malone had a shot hit the post, and then just after at the end, Toole, you know, had a header that's hit the post as well. So, you know, they're thereabouts. But, you know, these young guys are, you know, as I mentioned, buying into what Rory Hargan wants to do here, and Rory Higgins wants to do here, and you know, he'll be expecting another big reaction, you know, a huge bounce back come the weekend.
Yeah. One other game just in the League of Ireland of note this weekend, St Patrick's Athletic against Shamrock Rovers. It's going to be a battle of the top two sides in the Premier Division. And I suppose the way things are panning out already, it's fair to say the title probably down between these two with Rovers edging it at the minute. Keith, do you agree on that?
Well, they're the early pace setters. You know, you look at the squads that they have accumulated. You know, when we talked about, you know, maybe lack of experience with certain squads, you know, this, they seem both sides, Stevie O'Donnell and Bradley seem to have got, you know, the great mix of experience and youth, you know, in abundance with both those squads. Like, you know, a lot of the lads that, you know, left Dundalk at the start of the season or the end of last season have gone to both those clubs. And, you know, with that, you get experience in massive games. You get experience on how to win leagues. Big game experience, how to manage these occasions. So, you know, with the early pace setters being those two, I think, you know, Sligo, you know, maybe faltering slightly at crucial times in the last few weeks. So I think, you know, we would be a bit naive to look any further than Pats and Rovers. Of course, for Harps, of course, we might throw them in the mix too. But no, I think it's Rovers and Pats so far.
At least in Europe for Harps, Keith.
Yeah. I think Ollie Quest was fired early on the last night. I think with his holidays, could tickle keys, be as far as he's going.
It doesn't get carried away, so he does it. But listen, it's a great time from Harps supporters' point of view. It's just really a pity that the likes of the Harps fans couldn't get into the Brandywell Monday night to share the experience with the players, because it was the first ever one at the Brandywell, Keith, and God knows when they're going to get another one in there. But it's just a pity that the fans can't be there to enjoy what's going on with Harps at the moment.
Yeah, you know, they've had to endure a couple of rough nights in there over the years. You know, I remember a few of them myself, so it wasn't too nice. Like, but yeah, that would have been unreal. You know, like a last minute winner, you know, down that end as well. That's where all the Harps fans would have been, down in that corner. And I'm sure Foley would have headed to them instead of, you know, heading in around the back of the Derry goal that a couple of the Derry fans had managed to peek over the wall. Like, so it would have been great for them. You know, that's, you know, these are the games, like the big derbies. You know, once the fixture list comes out, you always look towards the Derry game and see when that is. So, you know, that would have been unbelievable to share with them. But, you know, hopefully those days are coming back now. And like the next time Harps go in there, there'll be expectancy from them, from the fans. So hopefully they won't let them down. Sure they won't.
If I'm right in saying, could be the last game of the season. Is that right, the way the fixtures? There's three runs of games, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, it would be, yeah. So it would be a great place, you know, to relegate Derry if you were going in there the last game of the season. Harp to get Europe and Derry to go down.
Listen, away from the Irish League and or away to the Irish League, actually. Senior Cup. For you guys, Glentoran against Cliftonville on Saturday evening. Is the Cup now maybe the last chance to solve our fuse, boys?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, things didn't go our way last night. Corrine with a last-minute equaliser, you know, taking massive points. And I suppose whoever had won that game would have, you know, moved up a bit closer to Linfield. They seem to be in the driving seat at the moment, you know, with games running out. So, you know, it was a great experience, obviously winning the Cup last year. You know, spoke with you about it before. It was a fantastic achievement. You know, we're looking to do the same this year. Cliftonville, who we beat in the semi-final last year, will have an axe to grind there as well. And they'll be looking at it as their chance of silverware as well. So, you know, it'll be a great occasion. Unfortunately, again, no fans. You know, Irish Cup, always a huge occasion in any round in the Irish League. So, we'll be looking to... We'll be looking to bring the Cup back to the Oval again, and you know, we'll see Cliftonville just as another game, and you know, hopefully we can get the right side of the result on Saturday evening.
Okay, we wish you the very best of luck with that game this weekend. Keith, as always, thanks for joining us, and we'll catch
Good
up again.
Good match, cheers. Thanks, Ashley.
That is Keith Cowan. And in some other League of Ireland news, as we know, Kevin Sheedy's short but stormy reign in charge of Waterford is over. Along with assistant Mike Newell, he left the club yesterday as the side sit bottom of the SSE Airtrusty Premier Division. Sheedy was only appointed in December, but rumours of arguments with players were frequent, and Newell was sent off in 3 of their 9 top flight games together. And finally, just some other soccer news. Donegal native Brian Dorian has been appointed as Donegal's new High Performance Director under the FAI. This job is part of the new structure that the FAI has put in place for grassroots football. The Killybegs man, of course, has spent a lot of time over the last number of years around the showgrounds in Sligo. Dorian, of course, was first team coach there as well as under 19 manager. But he's leaving Sligo and coming back into Donegal, where he now takes up the role as High Performance Director in the county. And we wish him well with that. That is it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show, you can, of course, go on to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. It's all available there. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So until then, what's left of your Thursday, enjoy the rest of your evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.